following episode is sponsored by Never Quit Brand LLC. Unique clothing for unique people. Welcome back to Round 12, the podcast that will always be dedicated to growth, development, and motivational mastery. I'm your host, Sensei Roger B. Hamilton. Thank you for joining us again today for another episode of the Round 12 podcast series. Let's go get it. Life begins at 30, and how the previous 29 years are just practice. Fitness for Life. Today's episode features co-host Senpai Omar R. B. Hamilton. Welcome. This is an exciting episode. Welcome, Omar.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Can you hear me okay? You hear me?
I do. I hear you perfectly. I have the terrible sound because I'm way remote. And although you're remote, too, you have the technology. I usually be in my home studio. But today, you and I are improvising for this inaugural episode.
Oh, it's all good. It sounds okay on my end. Hey, nothing you can't work through.
I have the Delta Airlines headphones.
Okay, got you. Hey, you work with what you got. It's all good.
That's what I'm saying. And so, welcome, Omar, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome.
Yeah, I'm here. Let's go.
He's the man. Hey, see that? That's the round. I know. Hey, so, I know, right? Well, this is quite exciting, I think, to me, because you and I haven't been on mic together since, gosh, what is it, 2018 or something crazy?
When we did the first.
And then the second episode. And then here we are now, quite a few years later, to chop it up a little bit, you know?
Yeah, no, it's cool.
Talk. I think it is too, and this is a little less formal than the first time when we were officially rookies on the podcast set. Yeah. And I am no longer a rookie, as it were. So we're just going to talk like we talk on this one, you know?
Yeah, and well, I'm gonna let you lead the way because I'm still a rookie, so I'm
fine. Indeed. Well, you know what? What we've both learned is coaching and being coachable, right? And so I think in cases like this and many others, we just do what we need to do to continue to grow. And a little humility goes a long way. So I like you saying that.
Yeah.
We'll get to it. Yes, we will. So listen, this episode by design is a real emphasis on the proverbial fitness for life. I plugged that in on last episode because I had an epiphany. I started to think about me being 108 years old, and I'm still plugging. And I just thought, you know what? That concept maybe won't be wasted on many people, no matter what age they are, but especially if they've gotten a few decades or a few years in. And then I started to think about you turning 30 years old. Whoa. turning 30 years old, there was a time in this country where they said you can't trust anybody over 30. Well, I don't know that that was true then, and I don't know that it's true now, but that monumental time pass is important to us. So I plugged in some questions because you and I are connected so well, and I think we could answer our questions honestly. And also because I think that some of these questions, they may even intrigue other people to ask or to answer. And so maybe we can do some good with it, too.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I think that's that's a cool concept.
Yeah, I think so, too. So without further ado, let's jump in, and I'll hit you with them. So the first one that comes to mind for me is, what would you say was the best day of your life so far?
That's a good way to start.
I was just
talking about that one. I was thinking through some things with the questions and what comes top of mind, but. I think to answer your question, like there's a few moments that definitely come to play for different reasons. It's hard to select one, but there's a few that come top of mind, one of which is graduating from UC Santa Barbara, the culmination of all the work that goes into it, not just in college, but grade school, you know, preschool, all the different layers and levels to it. That one is special. Getting my black belt is one that's special. Again, the culmination of all the years and competitions and classes and days. And then there is the day that I proposed to my fiance and she accepted. So that was a fun one. So, you know, those are the storybook question or the thank you. those are all special, and those are all the ones that I would put in the biography. But then also there's the real answers, and it's the first time I went to a music festival, because that was when I was like, this is cool, this is exciting, what are we gonna get through here? So that's the fun answer, in the sense that is a different experience, something that is cool to see and led to a lot of fun. So those are the big ones that come to mind for me. Hard to narrow it down to just one thing, but they're all special for various reasons, whether it's an accomplishment, an experience, a journey, they all have their own significance.
Wow. I was around during all those things. And let me tell you, that concert deal, even though the black belt was pretty hearty, and pretty important. Yeah. But you were how old at that first concert, and where did you go?
I was 19, and I went to a festival called Electronic Daisy Carnival, or EDC, in Las Vegas.
Oh, so, my God.
That was a fun one.
Yeah, is this what it sounded like out there?
that was just a little bit more bass. But that's in the realm for sure. You're right on the money.
Now, there's an interesting story with this one, too, because when you were gone and, you know, your parents, your mother and I just, you know, we backed off and we let you take that ride and didn't bother you about it. But after a couple of days of being gone, your mother got really antsy. And she thought, I don't know, you think Homer's okay? And you, I don't know, what should we have let him go? I don't know. And I didn't listen to her very much. I didn't entertain the conversation very much. But about 2 a.m. that night, I said, let me go find my baby. And sure enough, I went on the web. I searched. It took me a couple hours, and I found your face right in the middle of a crowd in an article. Wasn't that crazy?
And that is crazy, and that is not an exaggeration. It sounds like one, but it is very, very accurate. There's a random little, like, I think it was like AOL screenshot with a photo of the event, and lo and behold, it's me in the crowd in this festival that carries, I don't know, 100,000 people a day or something like that. So, crazy that you were able to find me there, because it's hard enough to find people there that in person, let alone a photo.
I'm telling you. And since you were little, I always told you, that's why I memorized your social security number when I first got it, because I was like, I'm not letting anything happen to you and your brother. And if somehow you get lost, I will find you. And I proved it that way.
That was a crazy experience, but also at the same time, I was younger, and you know, it's one of those things where it's like they say it's 18 and up, but also, you know, there's nothing wrong with them making it 21 and up. But at the end of the day, it's a cool experience, special being able to do it with a lot of good friends that I'm still friends with to this day. It was dope.
Really, really good. And check this out. So let's take us there. I had some trap music for you here, but it didn't jump on when I wanted it to. So that's all good. You get where I am. So look, let's breeze through these here now, because I think we're off to a really important and beautiful start. So as question number two, gosh, the flip side of the coin, what do you perceive as the worst day of your life and why?
The worst day. I would say the worst day for me comes down to, I think there's two things that come in mind. One of them was when I was in school, I was trying to get into the communication major at UC Santa Barbara, and I didn't get in. So that was tough, because it was, you know, one, you go through a lot of work to get into a school. You go to a school, or a part of your school selection process is based on the major that you want to get into. So I knew the school had a good communication major. That was my focus. That was going to help kind of set me up for the next steps. And didn't get in. One of those things where wasn't able to appeal, wasn't able to make it. I was a transfer student as well, so it gives you a shortened timeline in terms of what you can do after that. So that one was pretty tough, because again, like, you go through a lot to get to that point. There's a lot of classes you got to take related to communication. There's all the transfer process. There's all these different things to do. And then being at a point where you don't get in and you don't really have kind of a backup plan in terms of where you'd like to go at that school. That one was pretty tough. And then the other one for me was when I had a seizure while driving, and wrecked my car. So that was tough, just because, one, it was kind of the first, just for background, is I didn't always have seizures, wasn't diagnosed with epilepsy until I was older. But at the time of being diagnosed, or it's the first time that they happened, I wasn't necessarily taking it seriously. I thought it was one-off. You know, I was like, well, I haven't had them sooner. Never really, it was something that I didn't foresee as being a lifelong problem. So then when I did have the accident, did have the seizure and crashed my car, that one was tough. One, because it was the realization of, like, there is this medical issue that I'm going to have to deal with and is going to impact my life in many different ways besides just the actual moment. And then also, I mean, hey, losing your car at, I don't know, I was like 21, no car, in a different city, you know, going to school, trying to get to and from work, all these different factors come into play. There's paying it off, you know, all these different things start swirling at you at once. And that was tough, just because it was a lot to deal with all at once in a time in your life where you're already struggling, you're already trying to figure out how you're going to make it through your day-to-days, and then to not only have to deal with this medical condition that I've never really had up until this point, or never really had to take serious up until this point, but also I got no car. Like, I can't get around. I can't get groceries. I start having to, you know, figure out the bus schedule again in a city that I'm living in for school, but I didn't grow up in. I don't have the same family and friends to help me out with there. So those two definitely were tough.
Well, I'm walking right with you in the feeling on this, because like so many things, I was rolling with you. And to be honest, I realize also that you make this public knowledge today, right now. And many people may not know that. And I think it takes a lot of resolution and a lot of growth for you to be here now, because you weren't always. And I'm here with you too, because I'm at the point in my life, I don't have to hide nothing. I'm good with who I am. I'm alive through everything, and we do what we do. And we also try to mitigate those circumstances by living the best life we can, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And there's one thing I would add about the curriculum and not passing through the way you wanted to. I'm still mad at that instructor because it was a hair. You missed it by a hair, and he wouldn't even give you the consideration. That blows my mind about top-level scholastics and some of the high-level institutions. I think some of it is BS, right? And it bugged me to death, too, because you cared so much.
Yeah, I think that's what's tough about it is you really want to do it, and you want to be able to do these things and get into the program and work with these other professors and all of that. So to basically just be told like, no, it's not going to happen. Again, due to my circumstance, like there wasn't a backup process. There wasn't really even much time to go through a backup process because, you know, you have, there's different regulations around like how many credits you have, how much longer you can take more classes. What are the options available to you based on what you've done previously? So it's tough, especially when you're trying to figure out like, okay, this major is going to be a part of my career. Now, as you get older, you realize it's not as relevant as you may think at the time.
Right.
But, you know, in school, I was like, well, if I don't get into this, I'm not going to be able to get into the you know, marketing career or goals that I wanted to do. And I'm going to basically have to start all over again. It was kind of the thought process I had. And, you know, a lot of kids run into similar challenges because, you know, you grow up thinking, okay, well, I go to the school, I take the classes, I get the job related to the classes. You don't fully know in school how the major, it can be relevant, but it's not the end all be all. So at the time, I'm just thinking, well, this is it for my career. You know, like maybe I'll have to transfer to another school. Maybe I'm not going to be able to do the thing I wanted to do. There's just a lot that swirls at you at once. And, you know, you're not going to be able to get the guidance that you would expect even at high level universities to figure out what is the next steps. Yeah, you'll have people that tell you like, okay, well, these are your options. Maybe do this based on what's on paper. But you're not going to have people around you that are really going to care to work with you to figure it out. So it's kind of a isolating process if you've never gone through it before or you don't have people close to you that have gone through it before.
I agree very much. That solitary struggle, once you make a decision that you're feeling like you're alone, it can be awfully frightening, right? Actually, the proverbial fear kicks in. And, you know, what we learn is, you know, there's an acronym for fear that is false education appearing real. And you think the world is over, your life is over, but frankly, it's just beginning. And I'm proud of you, how you got through. I think you've done a marvelous job on negotiating those twists and turns.
Yeah, thank you.
Well,
it's twists and turns. You figure out how to get through it. I appreciate it. That's what life's about. Okay. You miss a turn and you figure out the alternate route.
That's what I'm saying. Now, there is a quick note that I'd like to throw in regarding the awful accident. It was just awful. If you saw a picture of the vehicle, you wouldn't think anybody survived alive. And it's really true. It was a major turning point in your life. And I know it so well because I've had those too, with my head-on collision and going through glass and things. And so I guess you and I got bars, I guess, right?
Yeah.
But we didn't want them, but what are you going to do, right? Now, but here's the thing that is quite special to me for the world to know is that the night it occurred and when the phone rang, I guess it was about 12:30. And for some reason, when it rang, I knew. I snuck up on the phone. I didn't want to answer it. And I always keep my phone handy, as you know, over the years with your mom's schedule and how our life was structured. I always had to make sure that I was home base. And I swear to you, I let the phone ring once and then twice, and I snuck up on it. And when I picked it up, it was your lovely woman on the other end. And she was speaking quietly. And she shared with me that this accident had occurred. And we went through it, as you would imagine. I was emotional and et cetera. But one thing about her, she was at least seven hours away, now encroaching on 1 a.m. And the thing she said to me next that will stay with me forever, and she said, yes, and I'm getting in the car and I'm going down right now. And she was about to take that drive right now for her mate. And it was the night that I realized I had always expected that there was only two people in the world that had a major and ultimate responsibility to look after you in danger or in circumstance or in need, and that was me and your mother. And that night, she became as big as we were in your life and maybe bigger. And I will respect her always for that. And I love her always for that. And it matters a great deal. So thank you, Steph.
I know. I know she understands and says, I know she's hearing you and she appreciates it. But she
and I appreciate her. And that's what I'm saying. That's my girl right there, boy. She's a really good person. And again, continued congratulations on you guys' engagement. And we're standing by. We're with you all the way on as we move forward. Yeah. All right. So now you're welcome. I'm going to breeze through the rest and see what we got. And I don't know. This is already very illuminating to me, man. I find this to be, to me already here at this stage of it, the most special podcast that we'll have to date. And thank you for taking your time and making your effort to be here. So the next one is, if you could pick one meal for me or your moms to make for you, what would it be?
Oh, this one's easy. Carrot cake, yo.
That ain't a meal, fool.
That's it not could a be meal. A meal. You give me a whole cake, that's a meal. All right. I mean, if we not.
I swear to God, it's a ridiculous piece of artwork, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It is. I tell people, I'm like, it's not so much that I love carrot cakes.
Exactly.
Just that item. No, but specifically mom's carrot cake. It's there's something in it. There's something in it. It's too good. I can't really describe it to people, but every time they have it, they're like, oh, okay, I get you.
I'm telling you.
But if I'm gonna say not a meal, I mean not a dessert, I would probably say it would probably be fried chicken. I know your fried chicken is really good, or I don't know, like I love all the stuff mom makes on
for sure too.
It's hard to tell. Sure. All good cooks, so it's hard to narrow it down to just one thing. But those definitely come top of mind.
Yeah, I figured that'd be a hard question. But I'm gonna tell you something. It's no dispute on anyone that's ever tasted that craftsmanship of that cake. And listen, that cake's been building in craftsmanship for what, 30 years, right? And the first ingredient in it is love. There is no getting around it, and it surrounds the cake. It's got it in it. But the other is the craftsmanship, and it varies slightly each cake. And it's really just a master course in dessert, man. There's no doubt about it. And it's all structural, too, and big and thick and sits there like it's regal or something.
Yeah, the whole thing. I mean, and just watching it from the sidelines in terms of the chopping of the carrots, getting all the, you know, crushing walnuts, getting all these, you know, coconut, all the sugar, just watching the whole process come together, three layers of cake and then the frosting. It's a work of art. So it's hard to top that.
Much respect, Miles. Much respect. And so what mountain on question number four, literal or figurative, do you wish you could still climb? And what about this half marathon you and your woman are training for? What's up with that?
To touch on the marathon, this one came up. I had a friend do one last year and was just telling me about it. For background, I'm not a runner. I don't run. That's not my favorite exercise. It's never really necessarily been an exercise of mine. But he told me he did it, and it's one of those things that I don't know. Like I've kind of thought about doing it just for the challenge of it all. And he was talking about how like it's something like, you know, he was bragging a little bit, so I was like, I could do that too. So there was that factor of me being like, man, chill out, I could do that. And then there was the factor of like being able to go through and take on that challenge and do something that, you know, not everyone can say they've done was intriguing to me. So that's what led to it. I mean, at the end of the day, it's very simple. I like challenges. I like to take on a new challenge. I think it adds some enjoyment to my life, whatever that may be. So I think being able to take that goal and now working on seeing it through has been cool. And then, yeah, I mean, outside of that, like, I know there's a lot more that's going to come. I think, you know, the couple things that come to mind in terms of that next layer for me is I do want to be able to, I do DJ, so I do want to be able to DJ at some point at, you know, a larger event, you know, festival or something like that, concert. So that's one that I always kind of think through. And then, yeah, I think the next things is start a family. That's the next thing to come with time is, you know, being able to take the partnership that you know, my fiance and I have, the family that, you know, I've already had and been able to grow within all these years, and be able to expand that and pass on some of this knowledge that I've gained is another one for me.
And by the way, I sign off on Cozy Kid and your DJ experience. You do really, really, really good work, bro. The eclectic nature of your music, the way it flows, the way it captures the audience at a given time. You are a real, real professional when it comes to it. So I'm wishing you that huge concert. And I'll be your agent, brother, if you need me there, because they need to see you and hear you.
Oh no, nah, for sure. We gonna make that one happen.
Yeah, for real.
It's like everything. It's all a matter of time, but it ain't if, it's when.
Yes, sir. There it is. And so, question number five: what do you admire most about your mother and father, either individually or collectively? Whatever comes to mind.
I think one thing that comes to mind, for both of you is just the ability to be able to take the challenges that you had growing up and, help me and my brother not have to deal with those challenges. You know, whether it's financially, whether it's, emotionally, you know, all the different factors that come with it, you know, being able to come from, different and challenging situations and being able to build a family with and help my brother and I, is definitely special. I think, you know, from you, you know, the ability to be disciplined and understand how to work through and work with various scenarios and push to achieve goals and avoid that complacency that's so easy to fall into, definitely is one that comes to mind. And then, you know, mom has always been great at just teaching me how to or showing me love, you know, like being able to be vulnerable,
yeah.
And
yeah.
What to look, yeah, for you know, what families and family values and all those things mean and what they can look like, and you know, all of that combined has made me a better man and continues to make me a better man and partner and all these different things. So I couldn't be more grateful for it. And then also just making sure also my brother and I have a strong relationship and are good to each other. You know, all of those things are not something that's a given. I'm grateful for being able to have a brother and mother and father that I talk to and have relationships with and can come home to, because not everyone gets that. So it's special. I'm grateful for it.
Really good. And I think you know that we're grateful for you too, and that whole sense of it all, that whole cohesion and synergy and genuineness, right? None of us are fake with each other. We're just kind of real, yeah, about how it is, you know? And that's the part I like a lot, too. Like, there's no, you know, facade. You know, it is what it is. Like, and if you disagree, you disagree. And if you, you know, whatever. But in the end, you always circle back.
Exactly. Exactly.
So nicely. Nicely said. Very nice. Well, here's a setup for this one.
Thank you.
A little trap music for you, baby. Come on.
I like it. Let's see where this one's going.
So what kind of music really moves you? I mean, what's the one that just gets you?
Those are always hard because I listen to so many different choice, genres,
yeah,
so many different exactly. types of music. For me, I would say there's in terms of like what is most likely to get me going or motivated or push me through something in the day or just bring a smile to my face. It's definitely I love rap music. I'm a big rap fan. And I don't know that I would say that there is a specific genre of rap that falls into that. But there is a specific motivation that comes from it. And I just I like music that talk about like whatever it's going to be, getting rid of the people in my way, making it through something, whether it's drill music, whether it's trap, whether it's soulful, whether it's boom bap, whether it's eclectic. I like high energy music, and I like music that is both sonically pleasing and gives you... It's sonically pleasing and storytelling related. I think there's I find when talking to people, sometimes people fall into like, I only like, trap or drill or whatever the case may be, or I only like, soulful, conscious, whatever the case may be, 90s beat style. But for me, I'm less of a purist in terms of one specific style, but I have a good ear for what is sonically well done. How is it composed? How are the lyrics flowing together? Sometimes they're intricate, sometimes they're not. But do they have the ability to flow and put you in a place where you can understand where that person's coming from? You can understand the motivation behind it, and you're able to tap into something yourself. So for me, some of the artists that I listen to a lot, I listen to if it's trap music, sometimes I might listen to Future. If it's more of a old school, style of grimier style of beat, it might be like Boldy James. If it's Midwest music, drill music, it might be Chief Keef, it might be King Von. If it's West Coast, it might be YG, it might be Mac Dre, it might be a number of different Kendrick Lamar, Schoolboy Q. It could be a number of different people or styles, but they all have the ability to hype you up, tell a story, be sonically enjoyable, whether it's in the car or in the house. That's what always kind of gets me going.
That's amazing. What I also hear in your answer is respect for the process and the craft. I hear that resonating through what you're saying.
Exactly. I think that's one thing that's been big. That's big for me. That sometimes when talking to others, we may not have the same values, but for me, I appreciate the craft of it all. The craft of the producing, the craft of the mixing, the craft of the vocal ranges, the craft of the flow, the craft of the lyrics, of the composition structure, all those different things that go into it. As someone that has a big interest in DJing, but also, just for fun, like creating music and creating beats and listening to people talk about how they create albums. I love the whole artistic process of it all. So that's why for me, it's hard to narrow it down to a specific style or a specific person. But when I can respect your artistry in the song, that's what probably most attracts me to music.
Yeah, got you. And a great question follow up is, whether it's music, written music verse or not, what is your favorite written verse and why that one? So it could be a song, it could be out of a book, it could be something you heard, it could be just a passing quote, but what comes to you?
Let's see. I think for me, one that comes to me is, I think the verses in the, it's an older song from College Dropout, from Kanye West's College Dropout, Never Let Me Down. I think those verses all really speak to me. One, because they flow really well together. You get different people, and then there is the final verse, which is a poet or a poem being read, and that poem reading was taken and added to the song, and I think it really helps encapsulate the whole story that is trying to be told, of regardless of the scenarios that you may be in, there have been people in your life that have helped you get through it, and you are always going to be grateful for those people, and you are always able to push through different things because of those people, I think is something that I have always resonated with, and I think a lot of other people can resonate with, because everyone has been in a challenging situation that you weren't sure how to get through, and there's something or somebody that gets you that extra motivation. So those ones definitely always speak to me.
Bro, recognizing who your circle is, bro, who your supporters are, that is super important.
100%.
And you know, I'm quite a fan and curator of poetry and stuff of all kind, historical, current, musical, whatever. The written word and the spoken word are, I don't know, they're more important to me than I can say in a phrase, frankly. So you and I are really united on that one.
Yeah, I think that's a piece of where it comes from, you know, hearing and reading different poetry and being influenced from that, hearing different styles of music growing up and how that's put together, definitely kind of leads to that interest. And I think that's, again, why that one kind of speaks to me.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Pretty cool. That makes you part of the learned few, bro, because yeah. Everybody ain't paying attention, but it seems you are. So I like you.
Hey, I'm trying.
Yeah, I know you're getting there. And so just a quick shift in direction. What things does your brother do that frustrate, encourage, or inspire you? Talk about it.
I think one thing.
Because he's crazy, though. We got to admit he's crazy.
He's crazy.
In a good way.
I think so. I mean, yeah, I think, I mean, just to touch on that, like, it's always inspired me how my brother is, he's just great at being able to jump into a variety of situations and make people laugh. Always has been, always will be. And it's not forced. It's not trying to be something he's not. He's just good at being funny. And it's a funny that, you know, he can adapt it to anybody. And it just flows naturally. So I've always loved that about him. And I think it also encourages me that he's got an ability to make sure, and, you know, hey, there can be issues that may come with this, but there's also growth that can come with it. But Ali's going to do what Ali wants to do. Like, you know, if he's saying, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm doing. And I think that's something that I can do better at, because sometimes it's very easy to fall into the trap of like, oh, well, I got to do this because it's going to be what the boss wants, or I got to do this because it might be what the next door neighbors want, or whatever the case may be. You can fall into a trap of trying to do too much to make others happy. And he's going to not, and I don't mean that he's selfish by any means, but I think he also has an understanding of like, this is where I want to be. This is the goal I'm after, and I'm going to do it. And I love that about him.
And man, I made one mistake or one glorious accomplishment in naming him Ali. What did I do that for? Because he wears it well. He's like an adventurer to his heart, isn't he?
Oh yeah, 100%. And he's always going to do right by the people he cares about too. So.
Oh my God, loyalty! Oh my God, super loyal. He lives and dies for that loyalty. He is for real. He's the kind of guy, he don't play. If he's with you, he's with you. No doubt about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's beautiful. We love Ali. And remember that comedy? We can remember him being 5 years old in the car, pointing that stuff out of the window, making everybody in the car crack up. He's crazy.
Oh, yeah. 100%. I don't know where he gets it, but it just comes to him. He
says it. I'm telling you. He's just built that way. It's strange. And he's not trying to be funny. He look at you all serious and stuff. Like, he's crazy.
Yeah,
oh, exactly. He's a genius. He's a freaking genius. No doubt about it. Hey, so, you know, transitioning, talking about not jumping on something when you maybe should jump on it or want to jump on it or whatever the case may be on decision making. Now, after some intense corporate positions and finishing school, what do you think you'd consider the ideal job or profession for you now?
That's a good question.
I know, that was always tough at whatever level you are. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think it's always a tricky one because I think there's a couple of thoughts that go into that. One of them is, all right, what is the ideal job that comes based on my current career path? And I'd say for me, I do want to be a head of operations. I think just from a current career trajectory path, you know, I've always been involved with operations. Now I'm, you know, a program manager, so I work closely with development teams to make sure things are flowing properly. But that also means working with other teams, whether it's marketing, you know, creative, sales, whatever the case may be, to make sure everything's flowing effectively towards product launches and product repairs. So, you know, that's the on paper, like, hey, based on where I'm currently going and where my career has taken me, that's the next steps that I am working towards. But then the other side of it is I do think, you know, I'd love to be something like a teacher, where I can work with kids, and not just obviously teach them what they need to know to pass classes, but I do think there's more opportunities to be able to teach and coach kids on how can you make your life successful based on what you are currently enjoying and what your skill sets may be, because there's no one size fits all for everyone, but there's plenty of opportunities to be successful, but everyone doesn't always have the coaching or mentors around them that'll tell them, hey, like, you like this, maybe four-year university isn't the best, but you can also go to a trade school. Hey, maybe, you know, you like this, well, instead of going to you know, the private school where you're going to take out a ton of loans for this, go to the state school, you're going to get the same skill sets. Just a bunch of different things, because it's difficult for kids to get a guidance package based on them, because there's just so much going on. People are going to find what is the best fit for everyone as a whole, and we're going to just push you through that fit. And I would love an opportunity to be able to work more with people who are growing through life and help them figure out what is the next best steps for them. Doesn't mean that you can save everybody, but people that are in place and guide kids would be cool.
Well, I'm rocking in the same boat. I've been doing it a long time and can't help it. And it's a particular part of my psyche, and I don't know, my makeup, my direction is, I don't know, just pass on and each one teach one. And, you know, giving is living a little bit, and helping people be stronger is not a bad thing, frankly.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I think we need more of it. It's tough. You know, I have so much respect for teachers, not only for what they do, but for all that the challenges that come with it. So, you know, any opportunity to help folks in that position is definitely something mm-hmm. that speaks to me.
Very good. Well, let me ask you, why did that particular movie, song, conversation, or work situation disturb you?
I think for me, one thing that can disturb me about, I guess I'd say what working positions lead to is you reach a point where you wonder how much of what you're doing is for the best of not only the company, but those who are working with and for the company. Or
you realize that there's a lot that goes into working environments, particularly in corporate situations, that are just about the benefit of individuals. Maybe that is an individual at the top, like a CEO. Maybe that is an individual who is your direct manager who wants to get their promotion. But there's a lot of things that go into your day-to-day that are not really about the best overall, but the best for a individual or small group of people. And I think it's tough to stay motivated to work towards those goals when you start to feel like that's all that you're doing. So, what is the solution to that? I think it's eliminating greed. How do you eliminate greed? That I don't know. So I think that's the tough thing. It's just kind of like you watch movies and you see people going to these big corporate offices and you're like, oh my God, that's so cool. This got to be fun and fulfilling. But it could be a little less fulfilling when you're in it. But I think that also goes into to try and find the right positions for you and cultures that you feel like you belong in, not just doing something for the sake of the shareholder, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm. And you see, that's what I was trying to get at too, because what I hear is experience talking. And you see, we started this thing talking about 30 years old. Well, at 20 years old, you didn't have the same level of experience yet. And when I hear it coming out of you now, I realize that it has benefited you to learn these things, but didn't always please you.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's not always going to be enjoyable. And that's life. Not everything in life is going to be fun. And that's okay. But with experience, you learn how to adapt and to adjust to those scenarios. And you also, over time, better figure out what's the best bet for you. And that's, I think, the critical thing is, again, you're not going to always have fun, but how can you make sure that it is a valuable use of your time?
Mm-hmm. There it is. And back to that discipline thing, sometimes we have to discipline ourselves through things. And simply discipline is doing what needs to be done, when it needs to be done, whether you like it or not. And that's part of the learning, too.
Yeah, exactly.
So what was that particular movie, song, or conversation that thoroughly inspired you?
I think for me, it was... I think one that definitely inspires me is... The Pursuit of Happiness, the Will Smith movie.
Wow, great choice.
It is, basically the story of someone who still is driven and wants to be able to make a success out of their life and not just be, not just settle, essentially, but with that comes challenges and comes the need to be able to make sure you're taking care of the people you love, in this case his son. So to watch someone go through all the challenges and still be a good father and care for his son and show up to work every day regardless of what is stopping him and eventually reach your goals, that one inspires me because it just goes to show you that no matter how tough a situation may be, how much you may be struggling, how bad of a day or week or month you may have, it can all turn around in a moment, but you got to just stay on it. And you got to stay after that pursuit of happiness.
To pursue, what a great title for that movie and a way to bear it out. I'm a proponent of all that madness. My thing is, hey, yeah, to the day I die, bro, I'm running and gunning until the Most High pull me aside and say, yo, man, you got to slow down now. Got to go. So that's a great one to choose. Hey, what's the best thing about being part of a family, our family?
I would say the best thing about being a part of, being a part of our family is the love and support that we all have for each other. Being able to grow together through martial arts and just different experiences and having fun and laughing and joking has been great. It gives you a good foundation into how to build a family when that time comes for yourself. And I think it's difficult living your own life and trying to be the best that you can be when you haven't been able to see an example of what that could look like. So being able to start my own life with an example of what a good and supportive and caring family can look like and should look like is great. And it's not to say that everyone's perfect. Everyone grows and makes mistakes and learns and things like that. But it's not about when you're not remembering your families for bad times, you're remembering them for good times. That to me speaks volumes about what makes a family good. So that's what I'm grateful for.
Well, that's the proverbial point of reference. When you get a point of reference on how life is, you go with that. Right. So if you get a point of reference that life is terrible and family's terrible, boy, oh boy, it's hard to get out of that. But if you get it the other way, it can be quite glorious to give you footing.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's cool, you know, because not everyone gets those opportunities. So it makes it that much more special.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, too, because that was the goal. So,
yeah.
So what's the hardest part about being the oldest son in a family, our family? Anyway, I mean, just the concept. What do you think?
Man, you got to get in trouble for everything, lying.
Yeah.
You're the oldest, you got every mistake, you got to do it. You got to be the first one to deal with it, whether it's how you learn from it, whether it's whatever the punishment may be, whether it's how relaxed or unrelaxed your parents may be about it. Ollie definitely could do some stuff that I wasn't able to do. that's also just oldest siblings. You know, when you meet other people, you realize that's just part of the journey. I think it's just you got to be the first one to take the hits. You always first in line, but there also comes some benefits with that for sure.
Yeah, and life is balance anyway, whether we like it or not. It tends to not just go one direction or be one way. We don't always see it, but it's usually two sides at least to the story, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hey, what sort of things in the world make you angry and you wish you could fix it? Because anger is tricky. Anger can get you all discombobulated and mess you up. So, but there are those things that don't feel right.
The big ones for me that I think stand out, and they're kind of related in their own ways, is greed and lack of empathy. The greed, you see it just, all the time in your day-to-day. Some of that is you get older, you realize some of the things that go on with society, with how, for example, these billion-dollar companies are built, with how the countries themselves are built. You look at some of these wars, the war between Russia and how that is just about trying to get more territory when it's not necessary, or the things that go on. We see a lot in tech with layoffs and preparing for potentially AI and things like that. So, cutting people who need money and jobs just to continue to maximize profits that are already ridiculous. That one frustrates me. And then just lack of empathy, which kind of can come into play with greed. But I think you see it more on a day-to-day, whether it's just refusing to acknowledge someone as they're walking by you, or you seeing someone struggling to carry something and just walking past not carrying it. Whether it's in your day-to-day, hearing about someone struggling and laughing about it or not caring. And it's not to say that you're going to bend over backwards and change what you're doing to help everybody, because that's impossible, and that's what will also drive you crazy. But I think just the lack of understanding for what someone else could be going through, whether it's related to people's rights, people's ability to be their true selves, or it's just what you see on a day-to-day and the lack of care for those around you. I think those ones really frustrate me, just because they're things that could theoretically be changed easily, but they are also a part of, you know, culture, definitely very prevalent in American culture, and something that is just human nature. So those are the big ones.
Yeah, and when you talked about that bending over backwards, sometimes better to fall flat on your face than to bend over too far backward. So that's the other side of it, too, is that having empathy is an art as well, too, because you can't just give everything away to everybody because you'll wind up with nothing yourself. So it's interesting because I think maybe that's why people gravitate away from empathy or caring or giving, is because they're like, what about me? I got to give them my stuff. Or my care, or my time, or whatever. But in the end, I think teamwork makes the dream work. And when we look out for each other, it's just better for both of us, frankly.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's not to say that you're going to be able to save everybody, because it's impossible. But being able to have the emotional intelligence to understand where you can support and mm-hmm. be willing to where you can. Is what matters most. So folks don't have that ability at all. That's where it can be frustrating.
Yes, sir. So can you describe what the perfect day would look like to you, Brian?
That's a good question. The perfect day. For me, I'd say probably perfect day. Start out, get up around, I don't know, like 9 or 10, whatever the case may be, but, you know, get a full night's rest, getting some kind of workout in the morning, and then probably followed by, it could be any activity, but any activity I enjoy, whether it's a, it could be a show, it could be a surf shopping, it could be going to the beach, but any type of activity that allows you to get outside or spend some time with friends, take on a new challenge, whatever the case may be, and then ending it with a good meal. I think that's always one that I love, is a good meal at the end of your day, something to sit down, enjoy, laugh, talk, and take some time to just appreciate what you have and eat. I'm always happy to eat. And then, I think ending it, you know, again, like if it's ending it with an activity, maybe it's a show, maybe it's a concert, maybe it's a movie, or you end it with, going to bed and feeling accomplished and like you did everything you wanted to do, and going to bed content is cool. I think that's one of the things where if you asked me this question 5 years ago, I'd probably be like, all right, first, you know, we're going to the club. That I don't enjoy that, but perfect day is just related to, you know, getting outside, getting some sunshine, getting moving, accomplishing some goals, and finding ways to smile and not worry about the stresses of life. And I think that's the key of it, finding an opportunity to get away from work and bills and all the different things that consume you on a day-to-day basis, and just smile for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Man, nice. You know, the elegant simplicity of all that you offer there is amazing. And I think it would appeal to just about every human being, the way you structured it there. And it reminds me of how you used to, I'm not sure what grade you were in Richmond. What was it? Third or fourth? But you would get on your inline skates and skate after school, immediately after homework, about 50 times, like every day. It was the most incredible thing. That started your athletic career, because you would just be in a zone and you would just skate until you were finished, around and around in a probably a half a mile circular around the neighborhood thing. And you would just go round and round and round, and you look so at peace. It was incredible.
Yep. Yeah. And it's funny you bring that up, because, I think that's the root of the idea. Everyone's going to have their own hobbies and interests, and that's important. So the next step is like, all right, How can you find a way to be able to indulge in that hobby or interest and have a smile on your face, find some peace, and center yourself for what's to come next?
A little different than learning to ride a bike the first time when you crash into the bushes. So we're trying and you didn't like it for a while, but it came later. So it's cool.
Yeah, eventually I got used to it.
Yeah, it's cool. Hey, what would you say are your top three movies, one of which you already mentioned? Pursuit of Happiness.
So I think the other ones, I love the movie The Karate Kid. I think that's God, the one that, you know, can watch it a million times.
Me too. Gosh.
And then, I mean, I can't say, I wouldn't put one movie as better than the others, but Harry Potter. Like, I love Harry Potter, so.
Oh, yeah, for what? I mean, gosh,
that
man.
That whole series, that was just a big part of my life.
Set a whole trend. My life. Yes. Yeah. That movie had people engaged like nothing, man. It was crazy. And then the books before it is pretty bizarre.
Oh, yeah, the books, and then the movies became, what you know, a huge just cultural phenomenon. You know, for me, it was always interesting because the last movie came out my senior year of high school. So it was cool to be able to go see that movie. You know, went with some friends at midnight to go see the movie, but it was the ending of an era, not only for the film franchise, but for me in my life. So it was kind of cool the way that that timing worked out. And it always leaves a special place. I know the author has some has been a bit controversial recently. So, you know, that can change things a little bit, but the story itself is always cool.
Yeah, she had a heck of a run, though, too. So, you know, she gets credit for that, but the rest of it, it's funny how you remember. I used to tell you guys when you were little, all right, now it's part of the discipline thing was, yeah, I love you and I'm going to love you forever, but I don't like everything you do. So we got to check some things. Yeah. Like, right. Well, so we could tell her that. Like, you know,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly. That's kind of where it is with her. So it is what it is.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. What skill do you wish you could be better at? And is there anything I can do to help you improve it?
What skill do I wish I could be better at? I mean, there's always the things that, like, I enjoy to do. So, like, you know, I like to snowboard, so I'm always trying to get better at that. You know, always want to get better at DJing. But I think the other skill that I always want to get better at is managing my time. And I think my problem with managing time isn't so much like, hey, how am I using my 8 hours of work, but also how am I deciding to put down, you know, close my computer, reaching a point where I say, all right, well, I've done as much as I can realistically do at this time. Sitting here for another hour, 2 hours, and being tired tomorrow is, in fact, not to my health, not to my ability to get more done later. So just the general act of managing my time and using it for the best thing in my life at that moment, and not just always working towards, you know, a financial or work goal, you know, allowing more time for exercise or fun or things like that. I think that's definitely one for me that you get better at, and it takes time because there's so many demands coming at you consistently. So for me, it's just about understanding how I can prioritize those demands and allocate time effectively.
Good call. You know, the phrase time management in all caps and bold letters could easily be posted above anybody and everybody's office as a reminder of what's important.
Yeah.
Of all the job interviews I've gone through in my career and all the discussions about things that matter, and one of those questions that will come up sometimes, maybe even often, is it's a two-part. What do you do well? What do you think you're good at in the environment? You tell them. So what do you think gives you challenges? What's some of the downside? And I actually would flip the script on people and make them think about their own sometimes in answering that question. Was on the negative side, I would always say time management. And time management is all of our issue at all times. There's no getting around it. And if you don't manage it properly, it will get you jacked up. So I think that answer is so universal. It's incredible.
Yeah, we all deal with it. You may not always realize it too, because you think, well, I've got all my stuff done, but then you realize you're neglecting something. So you got to be conscious of, like, there's always going to be something that's being neglected. Just make sure that you're focusing on putting effort into the right things at the right time.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. What skill do you enjoy teaching others the most, and why?
That's a good question. I think I enjoy teaching others. I would say probably anything related to music, whether it's just about, like, song structures, whether it's about how you can change things sonically. Again, going back to, like, I enjoy the whole artistic process of it all. So I enjoy teaching others about, like, what may go into something, or having conversations with others about what can go into something. And, you know, because I listen to a lot of different genres of music, I think I'm always kind of thinking about, like, how is, you know, maybe something that a pop star does built into how a hip-hop song is put together, or how is an electronic song influencing a pop song. All of these different factors, all of the different people that go into it, all of the different types of technology and instruments and all that you know, songwriting styles. I just like being able to teach people about what goes into that. Not to say that I'm an expert by any means in it, but I'd say kind of just, like, even just from a conversational standpoint, I like having that back and forth about it.
Man, this goes back. My 50th birthday party, you put together a set of music, and that started everything, where you spent all this time to make sure it was just right? And then we got to some of the loud stuff, and I started turning it down because the old people were there. But I got to tell you, I was always impressed, and I listened to that set over and over again, of how you were already on your journey to really deal with music the way you did. And also the cross-section of artists that you mentioned earlier, the 8 or 10 cross-section of artists, tells me a lot about how you feel your music and how you're in the game with them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think to your point, like, I enjoy that ability to be able to show others, like, hey, you may not listen to this all the time, but I know based on your previous interests, this could appeal to you. Or, hey, this may be something that you've never dabbled in before, but you know, I know that this producer has worked with other people that you like, check this out. So it's cool. I like that kind of seeing people's eyes open a little bit when they like something that they may not have thought they would.
And I'm going to tell you something. There's two things in the world that I don't know what we'd be without them. And it's music and sports, man. If we, I don't know how I'd be alive. Like, I don't even know what I would do. Like,
that's great. Nah, it keeps things fresh for sure. I mean, TV and all that's cool, but there's something special about the creativeness and consistent new things you find with sports and music.
No doubt. What kind of things make you want to cry, whether you do or not? What touches you?
I think for me, it's failure. And failure could be failure in a bunch of different ways. It could be financially. It could be career-wise. It could be in a hobby. It could be a goal, whatever the case may be. But I will say I do put a high priority in being able to achieve what I want to achieve, sometimes to my own detriment. But I think that's always kind of where I can struggle and can make me emotional. Again, like it could be a lot of things. It could be failing as a partner. It could be failing as a son. It could be failing as a colleague. Whatever the case may be, but just the feeling of I did not do what was expected of me when I could have. That's what can impact me emotionally.
Yeah, and we want to do our best, and once we get that as part of who we are, effectively, it does circumvent your system a little bit too when you can't do it. I know what you mean.
Yeah, but You know, it's one of those things as well. Also, you got to learn how to make sure that, like, hey, like, not all failures are detrimental. Some things may not really be considered a failure. Sometimes it's just, hey, something you got to learn from, something you got to grow from, and that's okay. So it can manifest itself in different ways.
Well, as the saying goes, no losses, just lessons.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yep, no losses, just lessons. Exactly. Hey, so what character qualities do you especially appreciate in a friend?
For me, I would say loyalty. Loyalty, making sure that I can... Loyalty and trust, you know, that I can trust you. I can trust that, you know... If you're gonna say or do something, you know, like that's it. It'll get done. Or hey, you know, if it's something that I'm struggling with or you're struggling with, you know, that I can, you know, we can rely on one another. You know, you're not gonna do me dirty behind my back, little things like that. But just making sure that it's someone that I can trust, that's loyal. You know, we can get along for whatever reasons. You may have friends because of a common hobby or common interest, but at the end of the day, that can only make up so much. Like those core qualities between trust and loyalty are what really matters to me.
Mm-hmm. Good things, let me tell you, because if they're not down. You know, there's that phrase thrown around that ride or die sometimes. Well, I don't know that we need to die, but if you're down for somebody, really be down, please.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, and also, that, you know, like I can trust that if I'm saying something or doing something, you're going to be like, hey, chill out. Like, you don't need to be doing all that. Like, sometimes it's checking me as well. So those are big ones.
Well, what challenges in friendship or false friendship make you pause and have taught you things?
I think it's kind of going back to, like, you can have acquaintances that you have similar interests. You might enjoy going and doing a particular thing with them, but you may not consider them a true friend because they don't have those qualities you look for. Like, just because we can get along and watch a football game together doesn't mean you're someone that I can trust to have my back when I need you to. And that's okay. I think, you know, I wouldn't say that I've been fortunate enough to where I haven't had really many or any friendships that I feel like I was betrayed. But I did also have to learn that every acquaintance that comes into your life is not a friend. And that's all good. You know, it doesn't mean that everyone you get along with is going to be your best friend, but you do have to make sure that you can separate the differences between acquaintances and friends. And once you do, your life becomes a lot better because you know who to keep around. You know who you can just kick it with, but you may not, you know, build relationships with them. And everyone wins.
Indeed. And the alliances become... Yeah. So organic, like you don't have to think about it much. You just say, "Oh no, we're cool like that." You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and like you'll forgive the phrase, but some people say, "Yeah, I fuck with that dude." Like, yeah. You know, yeah. I'm with that dude. That's my boy. Like, we cool like that. Like what? Like, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, so what do you wish I thoroughly understand or know about better about you?
For me, I would say, I don't know. I feel like you have a pretty good understanding. Probably that sometimes I disappear sometimes, not just from like you or anyone particularly. I just disappear when if I feel overwhelmed or if there's times where like life just gets to be too much. You know, like I'll put my phone away, I'll put it on do not disturb. And it's no, you know, like if someone doesn't hear from me, like it's not malicious, it's not because I'm ignoring any particular person. I'm probably just ignoring everybody because I need to be able to get myself into a state where I feel better. I think some of that is also like I want to be able to communicate with people and give
sometimes it's about giving my best self, but also sometimes it's like I need to compose my thoughts because I don't even know what I'm thinking right now, you know, and silence and getting away from things for a little while kind of helps me do that.
Mm-hmm. And dude, you don't know how many times I've perched my phone on the window ledge in the office and say, I'll see you later. And it's ironic, too, because all the years that I had to be the phone guy, you know, with being the home base, I think after a while I got to where, OK, I can finally rest now. He's 27 and he's, you know, 21 and like I'm 24 and, you know, whatever, whatever. And like, OK, let it rest today. Just go train and leave it there. Don't bring it with you. Like,
whatever. Yeah, so I get you. Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, so what do you wish your mom understood better about you?
I mean, I would say the same thing, but I know mom does the same thing as well. So, like,
I guess for sure.
Her phone will be off a lot of times.
You couldn't find her in a snowstorm.
Yeah. but I would say for that one, probably that, and I mean, she might understand this already, but or probably understands this already. But I gotta keep doing stuff. Like, I'm not good at sitting still. I'm not good at like just doing things where we're just chilling for long periods of time. Like, I like to be active, not just like physically, but I like to check out new cities or museums or events or whatever the case may be, but I enjoy to be out and about and see what I can experience, see what I can learn, see what new challenges I can take on. So sometimes I just might be all over the place in terms of where I'm at or what I'm doing, but I'm always be smart about it.
Yeah, and it's been a learning experience for her because she's more standard. And it's not a negative association or a positive one or anything. It's just people's makeup is different. And hers is just more, you know, the day-to-day order and, you know, turn on the TV and watch it comfortably and be happy and be positive and whatever. And going to track the world and hit everything has just never been like her thing necessarily, even though she loves to go to places and travel and all that. I think people like me and you, I've made her totally crazy. Like, you know, do what? Like, what? Okay. So that's a good one to bring up, too. And it's number love in it, too, because it's like, hey, Ma, I love you forever. Like, what are you doing? But I'll be back.
Yeah. It's one of those things. You know, I know you guys always joke about how I used to go to the bathroom when we would go to restaurants.
Oh, every time when we started going to outside restaurants, it became your thing. All right, gotta go. I'll be. And you were, I don't know, like 8 or something. Like, now I'm free to. Let me just go take a walk.
Yeah. It was a chance to just go see something new, just for even if it's just for 2 minutes. I kind of still have that same mentality.
Yeah. So, and understood and respected always. So no problem. Hey, what do you think people should know in general about turning 30 years old?
I would say that you are not going to have everything figured out, but it is still going to be a lot of good to come. I think, you know, your 20s are a weird time because there's some fun involved. I mean, not some, there's a lot of fun involved. There's a lot of, just energy and stuff like that you have to do a lot of things. And you also may feel like you should be farther along than you realistically need to be. So I think you have to give yourself a little bit of a break in your 20s, because as you move into your 30s, you become more established in your career, in your thought processes, in your maturity. So there's still a lot of great things that are going to come in your 30s. But then I also, on the flip side, think you need to still be able to keep yourself motivated to try things. You know, we talked about doing a marathon. You know, maybe it's having goals related to your hobbies. You still need to be able to have some hunger to you and not just slow down. And I get, you know, life is tough. There's bills always piling on you. There's people needing your help. There's work responsibilities. There's family responsibilities. So it can be very easy to just say, screw it. I'm just going to do my work, lay on the couch, go to bed, do it all over again. But for me, that's when I think things just get worse because I'm just kind of giving up on pursuing new things. So I would say be nice to yourself as you move into your 30s because there's more good to come, but also don't expect the good to come.
Bro, that's it. Nothing happens on its own without some effort put in and a few mishaps along the way. If you haven't made a mistake, it means you're not doing very much. And then when you accomplish things like crazy and you're doing super well, be careful of reading your own press release, because then that'll offset your balance too. And then you're right back to messing up again. So I just think it's a constant flowing, evolving process to where that's what makes it fun. Because around every corner is a new change.
Yeah, exactly. And you can be excited for those new things. It doesn't have to all be worry and stress and
right.
You know, lack of a better term, of the adult things. There's a lot of cool stuff that'll come.
As my saying goes, let's go get it. Yeah, you know? Exactly. And look, we got 5 questions left, bro. 5 questions left.
All right.
All right. Yeah, so, look, you know what I'm saying? Like that, homie. I tell you, your pasta's getting handy with this mess.
I know. I know. You got the sound effects and everything. That's cool.
I like it, though. Hey, this is one of the greatest, I think, podcast events that I've done. But for really, really good reasons. I think there's content in here that any one of us can benefit from or at least contemplate. And then also, listen, I will spend the rest of my days always wanting to be your good friend and for us trying to continue to collaborate together. So thank you for your time and effort today, man.
No worries. I'm happy to do it. This has been fun. So
it's totally fun. Totally.
To make it happen.
Yeah, it's on the books forever.
Exactly.
Hey, yeah, now, come on. Hey, so what do you think is your greatest accomplishment so far? The thing that matters to you, though, not necessarily everybody else, and why?
To keep it simple, honestly, it's just not getting evicted. Like, and so like, I mean, it's not so much just the, like, the not getting kicked out, but you know, like at the end of the day, like I, moved away, went to school, got it done, you know, got a job, lived in Santa Barbara, now live in San Diego. And, you know, I think for me, those first few times where you get your rent and you're like, oh man, I don't have much else after this, you know, like you pay all the bills and you got $10 left to last you, you got whatever the case may be. And being able to do that and having been able to do that consistently over these last years is a big accomplishment to me, because it's, you know, like it's not easy. Like, it can be stressful. It can have challenges. It can have rough days, but to be able to get through that and still be able to have some fun along the way and challenge myself to be better in different areas of my life has been cool. Like, so like, hey, I got a roof over my head. I got a place to sleep. And next month we'll do the same thing. Hey, like at the end of the day, I think I'm just glad that I've been able to continue along this journey and continue to grow as a human and make sure everything is taken care of along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as we acknowledged earlier, negotiating the twists and turns of life, you know, it's a beautiful thing, frankly, when done effectively.
Yeah, exactly. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, there's a bunch of stuff that's cool that I've done. Not cool, like, there's a bunch of great stuff I've done for sure that has plaques and medals certificates and all these different things, and they've all led me to that thing. But hey, every month, you know, being able to say, all right, cool, we're good, like let's keep moving, is an accomplishment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, I would agree. Hey, what made you want to learn to cook your own meals, and how are you in the kitchen now, Brett?
Oh, I got bars, like I can cook.
Oh, man.
I mean, for me, it started out of desperation. Like, it was one of those things where it was like, hey, you know, when going to school, you know, there's a lot of times where you don't have much money at all. So you're trying to figure out, all right, what can I eat with whatever money I've got in my account? So you end up with a lot of just basic, you know, microwavable things, a lot of leftovers, a lot of simple stuff like potatoes and all that. So I was never, you know, growing up, you guys were always good cooks. I've always really enjoyed food, so I never really wanted to just have to eat boring, you know, frozen food or top ramen all the time. So I just started by figuring out, like, all right, well, I could afford a bunch of frozen chicken. What's the best ways I can make this frozen chicken breast? To, okay, well, I've got, you know, I had a roommate in college who worked somewhere where he'd get a box of vegetables every week. So we'd have a bunch of random vegetables, and I'd figure out, all right, what's the best way I can roast these or turn them into something or pair them or turn it into a pasta, whatever the case may be. And then as I started doing that, I enjoyed the activity of it, you know, the process of sitting down and thinking, okay, I may have a recipe, I may not, but like, what can I do? How can I add my own twist to it? How can I make it flavored the way I like it? And then eventually, you know, turn into more creative things, more creative recipes, more different avenues of cooking, whether it's barbecuing, whether it's in the house. Today I'm going to barbecue. So just little things like that. But I really started to enjoy the process. I like food, so I didn't want to just eat food that I didn't enjoy. That kind of sparked the start of it when I just had to figure out how to survive. And then that led to more fun as I could get creative with it later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. And sometimes necessity is what dominates our desire to cook, because you're hungry. Exactly. That's exactly. It. I mean, in a nutshell, like, I'm hungry. Let me do something.
Yeah. You know, right? Yeah, that's the end of it. I was hungry. I'm not
eating chips again, so we're going to figure something out.
Hey, there it is. And now a brief pause from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by and sponsored by Never Quit Brand LLC. Unique clothing for unique people.
I like it.
I'm telling you, every little bit. So what are your favorite qualities about the woman you love and why?
I think the first favorite quality is being caring. You told the story earlier about coming to drive to see me after the car accident. You know, that is just one of the many moments in which she has made sure to have my back and being willing to help me, make sure I'm taken care of, make sure I'm safe. And sometimes it's like, okay, I'm good, you know, leave me alone. But it's always for the right reasons, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because she loves me and wants to make sure that I'm okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, her ability to kind of just anticipate and address things that I need without even really thinking about it, you know, like if she knows, oh yeah, I have night meetings, you know, a lot of times because I'll meet with people in different countries, making sure that, like, oh yeah, no, I'll make sure we have dinner prepared or whatever the case may be for the night. She's beautiful, you know, it's always had great smile, always has, you know, great style and has always done great things with her hair and all that. So, you know, you love that from a physical standpoint, but, you know, also I think it's just the fact that, like, that's my best friend and I can always come home and be happy to see her, happy to joke and happy to laugh. It's never one of those things where I feel like I need to escape or go be, spend my time elsewhere. Not to say that we won't spend time with friends and other people, but, you know, I'm always happy to see her face when she comes home. I'm grateful for that.
Sweet. And, you know, it's funny. Sometimes it's the simplest things, really, between two people. is a kind word. A kind word goes so far sometimes. A simple hug and just say, yo, what's up, is sometimes more valuable than all the money in the bank. Like, it can be a crazy thing.
Right? Yeah. Because at the end of the day, it's like there's always extra things, you know, superficial things or external things that are cool, but the person you are on the inside is what matters the most. And she's a great person on the inside and out.
And respect for setting out the task of learning and growing together. So it's pretty cool. And on that level, what are your most significant goals in becoming and being a maid and building a family? What are you looking to do? And you don't have to go too far ahead because we don't always know, but you know.
I don't know. I think for me, the simple one is like, I'm just excited to be a father and being able to share experiences with kids and with our family in general. You know, I mean, like things like seeing how they react going to the zoo or Disneyland, being able to have family trips where we can look back at 20 years and be like, remember that time we were in this place? Remember that time you fell? Or remember that time where we laughed forever about this thing? But just being able to share those experiences with, you know, with her, with you know, kids one day, with, you know, you guys, you, Ali, you know, friends, family, but just being able to continue to grow together with new additions and as we grow into new phases of our life is
part of it. Sweet. And actually, you have proof positive that it can work. So obviously wishing you love and success and respect all along the way. And you know I'm here for you. So.
Oh, no, I know. That makes it easier to know you got people that have your back for sure.
For sure, for sure. So what's the most fascinating thing about your traveling to Colombia and traveling the world in general like you have?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, I think one thing that is always interesting about traveling places, you know, I've been to Colombia, been to Costa Rica, been to Puerto Rico, kind of trying to, you know, go as many places as I can. But I think it all... One, it's cool because it allows you to see that there is just more. There's more to the world than what you see, whether it's food, whether it's, you know, like culture is the basic word, but just things like how you interact with certain people. What might be normal to you is weird to other people. What might be normal to other people is weird to you. But being able to just respect that, like, there's going to be differences. You can learn from them. You can see them. But it opens up your eyes. It can make you grateful for your life because, you know, at the end of the day, I am blessed to be able to have food every night and not worry about shelter and things like that, where everyone doesn't always have that luxury. So, you know, it's cool to travel and be able to do things and be like, oh, well, like, you know, this certain countries, you know, may be easier for us to afford because of the value of the dollar. But for them, they're also just trying to make sure that they can survive another day. So I think it makes you grateful for what you have. And I think it makes you, I guess, just want to help people where you can, you know. But also, I think it's just fun. You know, like, I think it's just that's the root of it, is it's fun to be able to see new things, challenge your language skills, whether it's trying to speak Spanish or French or Japanese or wherever you're traveling to, but trying to communicate in different languages that you're not fluent in, understand how to get in different places, understand how to keep you and your friends safe, but still have fun. So I think just seeing new things, talking to different people, getting different perspectives, all of that is great for you, and I think it's something I want to keep doing, and one of the main motivations for traveling.
Man, this one forces me to pause and think a little bit too, in that, you know, oftentimes we forget, us human beings, that we have more in common than we do apart, and we look for those differences and build walls instead of the similarities and build bridges. And I think when you travel like this, and there's our dog friend Luca in the background hearing me again, whenever he hears me, so I don't know if he can hear me or not. And if not, he's just talking. So anyway,
he just, love that dog. He just, He's just always love, trying to see what's going on.
Love that dog. He's crazy. But honestly, I think us trying to find the common bond or a common ground for us all human beings is a good thing to do. And when you go visit somebody on their home turf and you have to adjust to, you know, cultures and adjust to the rules of the game there, I think it's a smart thing. And when they come to you, if you can invite them and they can be courteous and respectful, it's better for everybody. And, you know, again, adventure is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think it helps build that mutual respect for everybody. And it'll leave you with some fun memories along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so, look, final question, honestly, is just between me and you. Do you know how much I love you? And as men, does it make you uncomfortable if I express that?
So, yes, I am aware. But no, it doesn't make me uncomfortable. But I think it's an interesting question, because I think it does make a lot of men uncomfortable because we aren't really.
We'll talk about it.
We don't really get. Training the ability to show our emotions in its full range. You know, you're kind of just put into a box of you show anger, you show happiness, and that's kind of about it. So I think I'm grateful that I've been able to learn how to tap in with various emotions. It just makes you a better and more well-rounded person. It's something that I think we as men have to do better at embracing and accepting. So it doesn't make me uncomfortable, and I'm glad that it does not.
And I'm glad too, because I think I've learned a lot from women in that regard when you speak about men as a group, and that they seem to find an easier time to express that they love you and to look for it and to cherish it and to talk to each other and to comfort each other and to just generally communicate with each other. And all you women in the world, up to and including my dear wife and my family and all those involved, listen, you folks have taught me things, whether you know it or not, about how to communicate better with my male connections. And I will spend the rest of my days doing that. So I'm glad we recognize it, Omar. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. You know, we all got to continue growing and learning together. So that's what it's about.
Yeah, that's for real. Listen, man, we've come to the tail end of our episode, but I got to say, it's been a pretty cool ride to really dig into some of these points of interest and really come up with, I don't know, expression and answers that speak to our individual lives and to other people's lives, too. So I can't thank you enough, Omar, for being not just a guest, the co-host. So any of you out there who are listening, let me tell you something. Don't ever be surprised if he took the point and he was running the show. And, you know, all I was doing was, you know, picking up the rear somewhere. So it's all good, because I respect this man very much, and I happen to love him as my dear son, too.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been fun. Yep. Glad we were able to do
very
that
true.
Point. Won't be the last time hearing from me, but this is good stuff. Good to be able to share these experiences, and we'll do it again soon.
Indeed. And so let me close it out. It seems that this episode speaks a lot to true and effective communication between people. Even if they are your family, who you think you know, check in. You might be surprised what you learn. So thank you for joining us again today for another episode of Round 12. May you live as long as you want and never want as long as you live. May the worst days of your future be like the best days of your past. And may you continue to answer life's bell every time. Until we meet again, time!